this is Sabrina George, part one, interviewing the guys from Spank for New Comedy Radio in a club in Soho. We've just ordered coffee, so we might get some waitress interruption, but that's cool. Leon and James.
Hello.
So, hello. First question, which I always ask everybody, it's James first. What was the first action you did to get into comedy?
First action?
Yes, rather than thinking about it.
The first action probably was running and taking over the running of the Hen and Chickens in Islington, and through there getting to know the Mighty Boosh, and that was sort of then before then it was just acting and singing, to my shame, but that sort of first opened my eyes to comedy and character comedy mostly. Yeah, definitely, that was the first action, if you want.
So you were at drama school?
Yeah, I did drama school.
And you never did comedy there?
Well, only within sort of play or something, not necessarily, I mean, definitely not stand-up and not sort of sketch or character stuff, no.
So what was it about the Mighty Boosh that made you think you could do it?
I think it was, well, it was necessarily, I suppose, the Mighty Boosh. They were just one of sort of, we also had the Hollow Men and people. It was just the sort of style of writing and performing. I just thought I could do that.
And then you created your own sketch show?
Yes, down the line we created Greedy, which went through several different incarnations. Yeah, now it's, and that's been going for about 3 years now, and that's we've just taken it to the States, and it's great fun, great fun.
Marvis, what about you, Leon?
I started out really as an actor originally, and then started doing a lot of street theatre stuff, the three of us, just to keep our hand in and earn a bit of money. And one winter I went and did a corporate gig for a certain chocolate company with James as an actor.
Did you know each other before?
No, we met each other. We met in the car going up to somewhere in the middle of the country somewhere.
Birmingham,
their factory. Yeah. Where we played the two sort of 19th century characters.
The Cadbury's Brothers.
We were the Cadbury Brothers.
Not that was necessarily the chocolate company you were working for.
George and Charles Cadbury, the single most hideous actor's job I've ever involved.
Why?
It was a hideously difficult script. The script was all taken as a corporate gig.
So they gave you the script?
Times
and
dates.
19th century. Network.
I'll never forget the Van Houten press, though, to the day I
died. I brought that back from Holland, which transformed the chocolate maker in this country.
In the amount of cocoa beans we could squish. Yeah, it was just immense.
And when we arrived, we basically arrived, it was all to be done in one day, and when we arrived, they suddenly changed the scripts. So both our scripts that we'd learnt, mainly in the car on the way down, very professionally, changed to very subtly, all the dates and names have been slightly changed, so it was almost impossible to relearn it. Took James about 4.5 hours.
Days. Your God.
20 minutes.
And it was all one take as well, so it was just this.
It was being filmed as well?
Yes, and there was no sort of idiot board sort of autocue or anything. It's like a 20 minute monologue. Sort of, well, it wasn't 20 minutes, but about 52 or 3.
It was about 15. And yours was about quite 12 minutes.
It seemed like it was just it was a monologue for eternity, but and then always sort of get to about sort of a minute or so before the end, and just say the wrong date. Like, oh no, we have to
start again.
More and more frustrated again. Oh, it's hideous. And then they gave us all this chocolate. It's all a bit that had gone wrong.
Slightly the same chocolate. Anyway, so we spent a ridiculously long time on that. We bonded over that, and I have to say that I did street theatre. And James went, oh, I run a venue. We've had that's yeah. extremely terrifying as well.
Yeah, who?
And they go down really well, so why don't you send some of the stuff in the sea? So we said, I'm going to really silly video that we made together, and he thought it was brilliant, of course.
Did you, James? Did you?
It doesn't matter what I say, that's how he reads it.
Okay.
God, you foolishly asked us to do something.
No, it was good. It would have made me laugh, definitely. Yeah, it's funny stuff.
So we put together a show every night and performed.
This was at the Hen and Chickens. Yeah.
And it just went down well, so we did it again, and then we did it quite a lot. And then everyone said we should take it to Edinburgh. Took it to Edinburgh. Went down really well there. And just carried on doing it. That's kind of where it all sprang from.
So are you writing your own material at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's a giant pile of voice stuff. Well, writing is probably too strong a word, really. There was rarely a script. It was physical. A lot of the stuff we did on the street was mime stuff. Popular culture spoofs, film spoofs, and TV spoofs. We did James Bond car chases with three people miming. It sounds awful when you say it.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what we did. So there was a lot of physical stuff, a lot of improvisation, mainly born out of the fact we had to write enough to fill an hour. We had about 20 minutes of material to pad in an album that we made up on the spot, which has kind of been most of my comedy life, actually, just making stuff up on the spot. Imagine if I said probably terrible. So that's how it all started. That's how we got into it. We got to do Spank just because we worked together quite a bit.
Yeah, it's when we took over the running of the lowdown of the organ. And trying to figure out how to, because before it, you know, it's the theatre.
Well, let's backtrack a bit. How did you get into running the lowdown at the Albany?
Well, the Hen and Chickens,
which is a wine bar in central London, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same brewery chain.
That's a bit posh.
That's a bit posh. I was thinking that's a very nice.
Well, it was a pub, but they've sort of wine barred it up a bit. I mean, sort of, yeah.
They've wallpapered one.
They painted it. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Downstairs, which is where you are, is definitely more cellar-like.
Yes, it's where the Chemical Brothers used to do the Heavenly Social. It's got history, that room. But no, we got to do that gig. The same brewery chain as Hen and Chickens, and they sort of asked us if we'd come and do something comedic with their rooms. And wasn't really sure how to, because everything we'd done had been in the theatre, and it was hard to see how to make this work. But we had, to start with, we had Mark Little was doing his Boogie Woogie Beach Bum Bar. Thank you very much. Which I don't know if you ever saw. Do you know Mark Little?
I know Mark Little, yeah. He's one of his characters.
Well, it's just him hosting a night, and there was lots of different. Sunday Angus would do deep poetry, and it was a funny night, wasn't it? It was a good night. And in some ways, was the inspiration for Spank. But when he decided he didn't want to do it anymore, we had to come up in a hurry with a night to sort of cover that hole that left. So we decided to come up with this sort of night. And we were kind of thinking about, because one of the things that came up in what a lot of comedians have been saying, is they enjoyed the freedom of the not having to do a set type scenario.
Set up punch jokes.
Yeah, yeah. And just their usual 15, you know, they come along, they're paid, they do their, you know, they wanted something a bit more free where they could actually probably do the stuff they would never do, but would always quite like to do, you know. That was the kind of thought behind Spank, was to have this sort of, not anti-jonglers, say, but in a way, yes, kind of idea where you're booked, but no, it's completely up to you what you do and you know, enjoy it.
It's hard for a lot of comedians because they have to do. If you're being paid to be well for a set, you have to do your 20-minute set, you have to do the best material for 20 minutes. sets, which doesn't give people a lot of chance to experiment. The whole idea of Spank is to give people a chance to find some new stuff, experiment, have as much fun as the audience. I mean, that's, you know, don't just turn up and try and check out your comedy set that you do everywhere, every time you have to, but actually to have some fun with it and come away and enjoy the night. Which was a bonus because we weren't paying to give us all.
Yeah, well, we weren't getting paid either, were we?
So what, where did was this all pre-planned before you started Spank, or was it something that Spank started and then you thought this is actually the demand that you're trying to fill for the comics?
I think it started that's into two things kind of just grew together, really. I think that was an idea, you know. I don't think we ever thought the Spank would probably be going longer than a couple of months anyway. Probably do two or three of them and then something else would come along. I don't think we ever foresaw that it would, you know, be still going about 4 years later.
I think it would work on the first night. There's a definite sort of field of dreams moment. If you do it, they will come type thing.
Yeah.
We didn't know anybody was coming. We put a couple of acts. It's developed organically,
yeah,
as well. It's changed. It's the first year it changed constantly every week, every month. So it was a different show, really, from the month before. So it's kind of felt that people wanted. It's very much, I guess we kind of listen to people as to what they want from it and what acts want, what the audience want, rather than just trying to push our ideas down from people's throats, which we do. Certainly in London. Although originally we were thinking, when we think of what nights to put on, we do think about a poetry night and
well, it was going to be like a really soap opera as well, wasn't it? It was
going to
be a really soap opera that the audience helped write. There's all these strange ideas, actually, in the, when it comes to doing a night, people just want to... I found what people wanted more than anything was just to get a bit pissed and have a laugh, and the acts as well as the audience, and that seemed to be the pathway that everyone wanted to go. You know, it was Friday night, everyone wanted to let their hair down. This wasn't a Tuesday night to think about it, you know, it was a Friday night. I want to get drunk, have a bit of a love song before I speak.
And why did you decide that the two of you would MC it from the stage rather than one?
I remember that you telling me I should compare it and me saying, I'm not doing it unless you do it with me.
I think it was that same thing. Yeah,
it was that same thing, wasn't it? Because you wanted to put the knife on your menu and I said, well, I'll do it. You said, why don't you compare it? I said, I'm not comparing it. You have to do it with me.
Yeah, that's how it worked.
Why didn't you want to compare it on your own?
I think it was more a kind of a battle of wills between friends, actually, that if he wanted me to put in the work to actually compare it, then he had to do it as well, because he was going to benefit from it for his venue. Sounds a bit nasty, but that's...
It does. I never thought you felt that.
No, I felt like that ever since we met, actually. It's just underlying it all work. I just want to be fair.
I just want to be me.
Because it is quite ego...
I've been wanting to be you for a long time now, and I just can't get the hair right.
Because it is quite ego-free. I mean, because a lot of clubs, the one MC is very much the person who puts the stamp of the character, and the two of you are quite different, but obviously mates, and that does give it a particular flavour that you enjoy the daftness of the act as much as anybody else, rather than, in fact, sometimes, I mean, it sounds a bit horrid to say, but you're not as good as some of the acts.
That is actually the point.
What? Oh, you're joking. Right. Oh my god.
No, we one of
is
our,
that true, Leon?
Yes.
But you often look like
more like you would be better.
That's true.
Two of you. Now that would be annoying.
That would be. My mom.
No, I think we're one of our main. We have quite a few that sort of rules or ethos behind Spank that have developed out of.
It doesn't show. What is the ethos?
Well, it's simply about the comparing together. Two comparers is good. You do see a huge number of comparing nights where the comparer tries to take over the night. It's very much to your own stand-up with comparers. Try and beat the acts that they've got in one down. And I think you come to see the acts on the stage and lean forward to the rule that we don't do any stand-up. change the content. So we are trying to control it. We do little skits and stupid stuff and comedy, but it's really just to keep it bubbling along.
Yeah, it's more the sort of I don't want to put it this way because it just sounds horrible. It's more the Butlin's red coat kind of mentality, really old time, pretty musical kind of sort of MSC. You know, he's G'ing up the crowd to try and kill the room, depending which way we decide to go. It was about the acts, and we're not one of the acts. You know, we're more or less one of the audience. That's the idea. You know, we just know what order of things are happening in.
We really wanted to get back to the idea as well, that trying to take away the confrontation move towards stand-ups versus audience and hecklers, and that kind of big divide between stage and audience. And we really wanted to make sure not have that divide, and we could try and bring the audience in. We don't stop people heckling, but if they are, just trying to destroy the line and throw them out. Generally, people be more constructive. Comparing basically the way we do it is to try and bring the audience in and make them feel like they're part of the night, that it's their night as well, and they have some control over what's going on. It's important for them to be having a good time. It's not about a comedian coming on trying to
go into a battle.
Addressed basically pick holes in them. You know, you've got to come. You've got to feel safe in a safe environment.
It's not about abusing each other. It's about, and also I think, you know, when you've got that, creates a much more supportive environment, and then what happens then is the acts tend to be a lot braver in that environment and trying stuff out, and then sometimes that doesn't work as well. Sometimes you come up with an absolute gem. You know, these are good people. You know, you get someone like David Amand, as we were talking about earlier up there. You know, he's gonna constantly come up with some sort of, you know, because that's an environment, especially someone like him, you know, really, really thrives in, you know. And I think that's great to have a sort of, so in a way we're the buffer, you know, for the acts, to make sure that they're, you know, as well as the audience having a good time, the acts are in a good, you know, good place to come on and just do their thing.
And it's
that's really what they're about to be.
But it's also we're trying.
In saying that, there has been a couple of times in Edinburgh when I felt like we might be chased with torches and sticks.
I think the other thing is we don't really care as much. The point is that
we are fast runners.
Quite fast runners. We always wear trainers. But the whole point is about the night. I really don't care. Away from the end of the night, everyone needs to be. People just love the acts and love the night, and that's fine. We can put ourselves in. Because we're not trying to prove anything, we can put ourselves in the light of fire without any problems at all. You know, it's not an issue for us. We're not there for our egos to come out professionally. And you can take the flag for the acts. And the other thing we try and do is always create a level playing field for every act. So we can't do something stupid, not that funny or take on a heckler or whatever, just to try and, if you've had an act that's really brilliant, it's kind of brought the house down, you're just about to bring somebody else on afterwards, just trying new material, you've got to bring the audience back down again to a certain level, or if somebody's done really bad, you've got to bring the audience back up again, and that's our main thing, really, I think.
Well, I mean, what I find interesting is that's what I do as an MC as well, but what I find is a lot of MCs say that's what they do, but they're not sort of necessarily aware that they don't. They actually can create quite a gladiatorial space, which is what you're talking about between the acts, and they think that, in some levels it does work incredibly well. I'm not saying that's not a wrong way of doing it, it's just a different way of doing it.
Well, it depends on the comedian, really, isn't it? Some comedians thrive on that, even, you know, and it's sort of, I think we probably prefer that than you know, I mean, someone like a Daniel Kitson, you stick him into the gladiatorial pit and he'll take on anyone. You know, and I don't think he enjoys that. You know, I don't think I'd much prefer, you know, like the shows he's doing. You know, I mean, I much prefer people listening to him.
Almost like a theatre audience. Yeah. But I mean, some clubs would say that's what they are trying to create, is get the audience to come back repeatedly and enjoy what's going on and feel part of it. And yet they seem to not get it. So that's what I was wondering with you too, because certainly my experience of every show I've been to, the audience is definitely there. I mean, I don't think I've been to a really bum-spank night at all. But I've been to a couple where things have gone a bit pear-shaped and you two have just sat there laughing.
Yeah. I'm loving the fact that we're getting bum and spank in the same sentence.
But it generally comes from a really, really difficult heckler who's decided they're going to turn up with the sole intention of destroying the night. And in any environment with an audience and performer, if somebody's just shouting at you, get constantly, not responding to anything you say, not responding to the audience, there's nothing, you can't stop someone from shouting out what they want to shout out unless you eject them from the room. You know, there's...
It's a shame because she's a great character.
And sometimes even that, by the... We had those girls a few months back, do you remember? And we just wouldn't shut up. And so in the end, you know, we were asked...
Well, they did want us to make more jokes about old age, and it just didn't seem particularly fitting for a comedy.
No, and we tried, and also we couldn't think of any others on the spot. I mean, we really did fail quite badly there. So.
I think that, you know, the topic of age is probably quite a difficult subject to find much humour in, without offending everybody.
I think it's not. Yeah, there are probably better subjects, but
I could have got the hands on that. Would have been much easier, obviously, but it would have been great, which is really tricky.
You had so many options. Leprosy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Piles. Smallpox, yep. Piles, endless source of humour.
All those things much easier to
make. Yeah. So, that sort of like a real hiatus on the evening. We had to get married. But then it was fine, but it really takes some sustained, you know, some sabotage, I think, to really bum the night out. Because, as you say, I mean, we're all enjoying ourselves, so it's hard not to. You know, unless there are enough people taking it so very seriously, it's hard to take it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about that, we did throw four people out smoking, to four girls who were just being incredibly difficult, upsetting the rest of the audience around. But people feel that they're in their they feel safe within the audience. They believe that they're part of a big piece, that they're not individuals, and actually they have a right to shout out whatever they like if they're not enjoying what's going on. There's a big problem at the moment with comedians. I don't know where it's come from. Audience members kind of feel that when you've got a night with seven different acts on, they feel that they should be enjoying every single minute of every single act. And if they don't like one of the acts, it's because the act is crap, not because it just happens.
They just might not like it, yeah.
They'll see other people laughing at it, and they'll just assume they're idiots, and that it's rubbish, and they'll want to make a comment about it. And it's ridiculous. It's comedy is subjective. It's different for different people. We put on a spank, we put on a variety of so many different things. If you don't like something, by the time you've got that,
cheer up.
Probably deaf.
Even deaf people.
Actually, you've got quite a lot of stuff where there's no sound at all. You've got a lot of mime stuff. So, yeah, even that, like Lula the Hula. I loved her on Friday.
Calgary the Hula girl.
Yeah, I call her Lula the Hula. All she did was she didn't say a word. She just went around with her hula hoops, and she was brilliant. Nobody laughed, but everyone was mesmerised.
No,
fantastic.
It's quite funny watching the guys in that.
That is what we do try and put on Spank, everything that people would enjoy. You know, we put on sketch comedy, character comedy, musical comedy, stand-up. It's supposed to be a mix of everything. Most of the things most people won't know, the names of the acts, and they just trust us. They'll be things that they enjoy. And so,
if it's something fun, you know, if it's fun, it's good.
Very unprofessional.
It is, and I'm really sorry. No, I'm expecting a call because apparently something. I wasn't it. my flat apparently is leaking into the flat downstairs, and so that.
You should clean up those dead bodies.
Yeah, so I'm going to be found out.
Oozing human essence into the floor below. Because
an 80s band.
I was there. One of the acts I remember who I think is absolutely fantastic, Joanna Neary.
Yeah.
And she did a contemporary spoof on Brief Encounter the movie. And again, hardly anybody laughed, but it was absolutely mesmerising, and it was just brilliant from top to bottom. Well, I thought it was actually extraordinarily brilliant. And I was watching the audience, and they were all like completely rapt and mouths open, but they weren't laughing. And that's what I love, is there's this complete, you know, allow permission that the acts can actually do stuff that's not necessarily laugh out loud funny, but is engaging, holding the whatever, even sometimes it isn't, but they can take that risk.
I think our audience can give them about 7 or 8 minutes before they start to think, hang on, what's this? You know, they'll give you, any new person will get a chance to do at least 7 minutes before they get undressed. In fact, our worst heckling in Spank really is when people start to get disinterested, just go out and start to chat. They just start to talk about themselves, which is far more disturbing.
I think it's worse, yes, because that means the audience doesn't even trust you to put you down or say, come on, pull it. Yeah, if they don't even.
It is the nature of art, encouraging people to drink wine and get drunk and have fun.
And to don't be quiet.
Sober up now.
Yes.
So how, from your point of view, how do you think you create that? Because I would say every MC says that, or promoter says that they try and create that. Where you say your audience will trust people for 7 minutes. I would say a lot of clubs say the audience only has 30 seconds to 3 minutes.
I think we've always had really good acts. I think I've never, you know, occasionally you've had someone not do a good performance. But, you know, everyone has a bum night. But, you know, I can only, in London, I can only think of one act, which we in the end had to book, I don't want to say this, who I can honestly think we shouldn't really have had and completely bummed out.
You know exactly who that is, don't you?
Yeah.
But we also, because we do allow, we do like new acts, I think we have the way we choose acts is people we've seen or we think are great, people who recommended to us by other people, or people just really persistent. So if someone's really persistent, we haven't got to see them, we will eventually lose our result for the first more than 5 minutes.
It's always been good, really, I think, you know, but yeah, definitely, you know, they trust that they're going to see good acts, you know, and they wouldn't, and they know they probably haven't heard of any of them, you know. It's very rare that you have such a big band. Depending on how into comedy they are, you know, some of these people, you know. But I think that and we drug all their drinks.
Yes, that works really well.
No, works really, because I noticed on Friday, I think you at some point said how many of you have been here before, and about a third put their hands up. And I was with a group of people who were actors, I think, I can't remember what they were, but I was just chatting to them, and they said that they had never been before, they'd heard about it, but they said, this is brilliant, we're going to try and make it every night. And you couldn't have got more bodies in there. I mean, it was absolutely, is it always like that now? Absolutely heaving, and people queuing up before you even open the doors, which is, again, unusual in most comedy clubs in London at the moment.
I think it's one of those nights.
It's fantastic. What do you think I'm talking to you? Talk to those dodgy people who've got one person in the audience with loads of TV stars, you know, on stage, and nobody wants to go and see them. And it is that. So it has to be the club's reputation. It's not the name of the acts that gets the audience in.
I think, you know, and it's, I mean, I suppose the last 3 years as well, I've been up in Edinburgh, so anyone who's been up there would have known of Spank, at least. I think, you know, but the worst case, even if you come and know there's some of the comedy you don't like, you know, and you have a great time dancing for 2 hours afterwards, you know, whatever, it's, you know, it's a good night out. It's, you know, in the old sense, you go somewhere, there's different stages to the night. You know, you can have a laugh, get drunk, try and get off with someone, dance.
Most people do.
That's a successful night. Let's just stop that section there, because otherwise we'll put hours into what you do for the rest of the night. End of part 2.